This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
You're now listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan. Ladegenda Properties used to be a poultry player, DBE Gurney. Today, with a new name, leadership and ownership, it wants to be one of the country's biggest affordable housing developers. Now, what's the rationale behind moving from poultry to property? To find out, I speak with Dato Doji Ming, Managing Director of Ladegenda Properties, formerly known as DBE Gurney. Dato, thanks for joining me on the line today.
Hi, Roshan.
So this is a very interesting story, and it all seems to have started about 3 years ago when your family company, Doe Properties, took up a 8.7% stake in then DBE Gurney. A few months later, DBE got into property development, and later on down the line, you guys increased your stake to 33% last year, which triggered a mandatory general offer. But while that offer did fail, today you're running the company following the resignation and exit of the founding family. I guess the question on my mind here is, was this the intent from the very beginning?
Hi, Roshan. Actually, it's never been my intention to do all this from day one. In 2017, I subscribed to RCN, which was offered by then the DBE, Gurney, Berhad. Alex Ding, Dato Alex Ding and their family used to be still our childhood friend from the same hometown. So they needed certain funding, and we were like so close to each other, and I didn't mind just investing in the company, and I was even offered a board seat. But moving on from 2017 to 2018, we realized that why don't we try to turn around the company, and I offered my expertise in affordable housing, and that is when the story began.
Right, because Doe Properties was involved in affordable housing, but in your home state of Perak.
Yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, it's not only Doe Properties. My whole family has been involved in affordable housing for the past like two generations. My father in the 90s was building hundreds of units of affordable housing, probably like 30% below the normal market pricing, and selling hundreds of units on a yearly basis in the 90s. And we have been very successful doing that because we have an integrated construction arm together with the development, and we are able to bring down further our costing of development.
Right. Now, just talking a little bit about this change in the business model. Now, leading up to the resignation of former MD Dato Ding Seng Huat, DBE saw what was then a related party transaction as major stakes of all six poultry-related units were sold to the former MD. I guess, was this part of the plan? You were on the board, right? So was this all part of the plan in terms of the growth of the company, in your view?
As a matter of fact, I have joined the board till today from 2017, we are unable to turn around the poultry division. So therefore, I actually suggested to Alex, why don't he actually take it private? It was a collective board decision after all, because it has been bleeding. The poultry arm has been bleeding for the past 10 years or so.
The poultry business was loss-making for many years, and it was only until the property business came into then known as DBE Gurney that you guys started turning a profit at that point. I guess when people look at this from an external point of view, the question arises is, or did you guys want to use DBE Gurney as a way to get on the public markets? Was that part of the story here?
Definitely not, Roshan. You can be rest assured of that. Because we actually, from being from a small town, I had no experience on being on a listed company before this. And I had no intention to even get my company listed from day one even. I know that there will be a lot of protocols and all this. It's really not. But, given the chance and I was there and I realized that on the private side, I was doing my affordable housing, and on the listed side, I'm also doing the affordable housing. I had to just combine it. For everyone's sake,
So at this point, have the previous assets from Doe Properties been injected into Ladegenda?
Doe Property only hold a share, actually. Of course, my major arm or my only affordable division arm in my hand or on the private side has been injected in.
So for all intents and purposes right now, you are now a public listed company. And earlier you were talking about how it was never your intention to go public. So has that changed the way you operate the business? Are you okay with being a public company at this point?
You know, actually, Roshan, you know, we have never been this size all along in my life. Of course, our first township started in 2016 to 2017, and we never expect the market to accept our township so well. So today, we are already having our second township, and we definitely want to move further because our second township is also getting very, very, very good response. We realize that Malaysia landscape of affordable is actually, there is a big gap of mismatch. So therefore, the only way to grow big is actually through a listed vehicle. I think we are on the right direction.
How much of Lagenda Properties do you and your family control at this point?
We are still holding 37%. However, with the injection, definitely my stake has improved further.
When we talked about the poultry businesses and how the majority stake of those businesses have been sold to the former MD, there are options in place to sell the minority stake that's left in these six companies. When can we expect Lagenda to be a pure property player?
Well, we have to get board consensus and to make sure that we make the best decision when the time is right. We have just sold the 51% in for less than 1 year. But we are certain we will do it, but probably when the time comes, in 2 years.
All right, so no set time frame yet, but is there an expiry on these options?
We have 5 years to do that.
We were talking about how the poultry business was not doing well for many years, and from the financials, it was really property that was the saving grace of the company and brought it back into the black in the last few years. Now that poultry is no longer your concern or a minority interest at this point, should we expect much better earnings going forward?
Well, definitely. In fact, in 2018 itself, the property division has already made more than 2 million. And 2019, we have made more than 13 million. It has been a great growth, and we are very, very certain moving on with the current injection of my current company, we will be able to make easily. In our audited report, actually, we are getting 127 million profit after tax. And moving forward into 2020, we are sure that the numbers will go up even further.
Diving into those 2019 numbers, you had a gross profit margin of around 30%. How much of a margin squeeze do you expect on the back of the COVID-19 disruption?
To tell you a story, actually, you know, our latest launch just increased the price of about 1% after COVID. You know, the demand is still very good. Our product is something that you need, not something that you want. I think COVID will affect luxury. COVID will affect what you want, because at this point of time, I think everybody will just spend on what they need, and we are in the product of essential product. I am certain that our profit will not be affected and the margin will not go down.
So you're not really expecting any impact to your margin there this year. Your properties are all within Perak, right?
Currently, yes, our two major flagship township are in Perak, and from there, we also noticed that even in Perak itself, there is a major affordability problem. However, moving on, we will want to look out of Perak as well.
At your recent AGM, there was a proposal for a private placement of 135 million shares at a reported indicative issue price of 80 cent. So that's about 108 million. We talked about how you want to grow this company now. What are you going to use the private placement money for?
Of course, majority of it, over 70%, will be used for land acquisition and working capital. And we will take partial of it to pay off some of our bank borrowings.
I've been speaking with Dato' Doji Ming, Managing Director for Lagenda Properties, formerly known as DBE Gurney. Up next, we'll get into the acquisition of three companies worth 823 million ringgit. You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanisan. This morning, I'm speaking with Dato' Doji Ming, Managing Director of Lagenda Properties, formerly known as DPE Gurney. Now, Dato', you've got a proposed acquisition for three companies, Blossom Eastlands, Rantau Urusan, and Yik Wang Trading, worth 823 million ringgit. What's the reason for this sizable deal? That's about eight times your market capitalization.
Yes. Of course, this is due to the two major townships. We have about 500 over million of unbuilt sales. This company also have 3.5 billion of GDV to be realized. And moving on, we still have about 1,200 acres of land in these five companies that we injected in. These are the companies that belongs to me privately that are focused on affordable housing.
Okay, right. So when we talked about the assets that you're injecting into Lagenda earlier, these are the companies that we're talking about.
Yes.
And so from a Lagenda Properties point of view then, how are they going to fund this purchase of 823 million? The private placement is about 100 million ringgit. Where's the rest of the money coming from?
Oh, of course, there will be a certain amount of bank borrowings to pay us back privately. And also the balance of the money is mainly from the RCPS, convertible shares.
So you talked about some bank borrowings there. It was reported that post-acquisition, your net gearing ratio will fall from 0.6 times to about 0.2 times post-private placement. Are you going to take on more debt to fund future acquisitions?
Overall, the total borrowing for the group is about 100 over million. And we are certain that this year itself, with the injection of the companies, we are able to make 100 over million. Actually, by next year, the gearing is almost none.
Something I've noticed in your books, there's not a lot of, there's no long-term borrowings or long-term liabilities. Is there a particular reason for that? Because from my understanding, I think generally developers do have some long-term liabilities or debt to fund their projects.
Yeah. Our business model is actually very different from others. Being affordable, we don't need to do a lot of major infra or beautiful, expensive showrooms. And after all, we are affordable. So, you know, our houses, we do not really have to spend extraordinarily a lot for major infra which other developers need to on their major township. Due to that, we actually require very small capital outflow at the beginning. And we do not even need bridging because our sales is so good. So without bridging, our cost is even further reduced. And we can do progressive claim and pay for the construction cost. So therefore, we do not require much funding. The only funding we need is during land acquisition because the land we acquire are usually huge. They are always 1,000 or 2,000 acres. The only loan we take are during land acquisition.
Now, property is a competitive market. And I mean, you're no stranger to this. You've been in the business for a long time, you and your family. And you are focusing on the first-time home buyer, which is very interesting because I think you said earlier that this is a need, not a want, to buy an affordable house, especially during this time. Right now, you're pretty much based in Perak. Isn't that limiting, considering that there's a lot of potential demand in Selangor and KL for affordable housing?
I think if everybody's seen the Bank Negara report, the need for affordable housing this year is about a million. So what we are providing is probably a couple of percent to the figure in the total nationwide. I think probably Selangor has a majority affordable housing problem, Selangor and Kuala Lumpur, but we cannot deny that in every state or in every district, there are needs of affordable housing. We all know, as a matter of fact, the average pay of a Malaysian is actually about $2,000 to $3,000. Even in place like a Setiawan, about 10 years ago, if you were to buy an entry level for a house, a single story terrace house, you would have to pay about $300,000. In order for a purchaser to buy a house that's $300,000, they need to pay $1,400 to $1,500 monthly installment. This is a major problem. Not many people, not many Malaysians actually can afford, especially when you just started working and you just got married, you know. So we know that the affordability is a major problem in Malaysia. That actually is not only a problem in Malaysia, it's a problem all over the world. We need to create a product that is cheap enough or that can be low enough to reach out to the buyers.
Now, one of the arguments I've heard for why there's a lack of affordable housing is that over the last few years, most developers have focused on the premium segment, especially in the Klang Valley. I think that's something that we can visibly see on our own. Why are you in the affordable housing business, especially since most other developers were focusing on the premium side?
I guess that being on the premium side is actually easy. For anybody or even for my sales team to achieve 100 million target, if each house costs 1 million, they only need to sell 100 houses. But in my case, they probably need to sell almost 1,000 houses to achieve that. So there's a lot of work, a lot of hard work involved, but our industry, where we are in affordable only, we are quite recession-proof. We do not have to worry about market condition. Every year, there will be new demand. Every year, there will be people who want to move out of the house. Every year, there will be people who are getting married. So there is continuous demand every year. We will not be afraid about getting our colleagues to get increment on a year-to-year basis, bonus on a year-to-year basis, rather than depending on the cycle of the property, which every 10 years you have a downfall. So we are very certain we are on the right track, and we are very happy, even though there's a lot of hard work, but it is very satisfying.
Doctor, just for context, what was the size of your last project in terms of the units that were developed?
The one in Setiawan consists of about 10,000 units of houses. We have already sold about 8,000 houses and it's already under construction. In fact, we have already handed over almost 5,000 houses to our home buyers since we started.
And the next project on the books, has that already been launched?
Yes, Lagenda Teluk Intan has been launched last year. We started signing SPA in the mid of last year. And we have already sold 1,850 units in the first year. And today, now, this month, we are launching another 2,667 units. We are very confident that we are able to cater to fully sell all the 2,000 over units within this year. Even though COVID has affected on the conversion rate of our house sale, however, we are still very certain we are able to meet our target.
And what's the size of that that development, the Teluk Intan development, and the value?
Most of our development are about 10,000 units, our township, and our value should range from 1.5 to 2 billion.
So with the acquisition or the injection of those assets we talked about earlier, your affordable housing development arm is going to grow very significantly. And I think the numbers we mentioned earlier, you've got an approximate GDV of 2.1 billion, land bank of 1,200 acres to be developed, and 500 million in unbilled sales value. What is your land bank stand at today, and what are your future plans going to look like in the next 1-2 years?
Of course, at least for the short term, we have a lot of offers on the table currently due to the market condition. So the land that has been offered is below expectation. As a managing director of the company, I need to make the best decision of the company. So therefore, I will definitely look for the best deal, maybe the cheapest land and the best location. Of course, moving on, we will only do affordable. We want to make sure that we solve most of the affordable houses problem in the whole Malaysia. So Perak will not be our only target. We are already looking at land out of Perak for long run.
Now, you're not the only player in the affordable housing space. What do you think is your leverage in this area?
I think that a lot of people, a lot of other developers want to come inside affordable, but because we have been doing it for 2 generations and we are very focused in it, we are able to create a product which is very, very cheap and very with a very high margin. Our profit after tax is from 25% to 30%, where else other developers in this industry are getting 5 to 15%. In the property development, in order for us to grow and sustain our growth, we need to have a certain amount of profit margin. Imagine if you are getting 10% profit margin. If your development sales is 90%, you don't make a single cent of profit because the 10% inventory is actually your profit. So therefore, I think our margin is important as well for us to continue growing. And that is actually one of the very important points for us to continue to grow.
And do you have a dividend policy in place?
We are definitely considering that. But however, I feel that in my company, we have a major plan of growth. We are only in Perak currently, and we are really doing so well. We have so many more states to go to. Of course, to take care of the shareholders and our investors, we will definitely provide some dividend policy. But our main focus is on the growth.
And in terms of overall policy from the government, what kind of policies do you think the property sector needs now, especially on the back of the COVID-19 pandemic?
I think the government should actually provide some fundings for infrastructure for all the developments. For example, for us to build affordable housing, we have to provide all the road and all the electric, the cables or infrastructure to get electricity and water. And of course, not only limited to that, we have to provide IWK and other infrastructure. This is one major costing. As a matter of fact, most of our new township now, we even have to provide fiber optic line in place for every single house. This actually further increase our cost. However, I believe the government should absorb this cost because they will harvest from this infrastructure in the long run. By reducing our cost, definitely it will play an important role to reduce our selling price further.
And just for your for Lagenda's outlook for the next 12 months or so, is it a matter of just maintaining the financial results you got last year, or should we expect growth on your earnings side?
With our increment of sales last year, we expect definitely a growth in our financial result this year.
And on that note, Dato', thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Roshan.
I was speaking to Dato' Dojee Ming, Managing Director of Lagenda Properties, formerly known as DBE Gurney. And you've been listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanasan for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile. Unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.